Well, last week Doug C. was here, and what did he teach on? He taught on work, right? He taught that work is good, that God designed man to work, right? That's how God designed it. There was also work in the garden. And he mentioned that there are several topics related to work in the Bible. And one of those we're going to look at this morning is rest. Rest is related to work, right? It's often the antonym of work. But, you know, what kind of rest are we talking about? We're going to talk about biblical rest or spiritual rest this morning, okay? And we're going to open in Genesis chapter 1. We heard of manifestations. God made, formed, and created man, right, in his image. This is in Genesis chapter 1. And the first usage of rest is found in Genesis, actually Genesis chapter 2, we'll get there. But we'll start in Genesis 1, and I think we'll start in verse 20. Okay. And in this section of scripture, you're going to see a couple phrases that repeat themselves over and over again. One of those, it says, and God said. Another is, and it was so. And another is, it was good. Okay, so let's remember it is good. Let's start with verse 20, chapter 1. And Lord, want to read maybe the first, the rest of the chapter, verses 20 through verse 31?
Sure. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life and fowl that make life home above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth a living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made beasts of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he them, male and female, created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed to you, and shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. In the evening and the morning were the sixth day.
Thank you. A lot of words in those verses. You know, you see again the words, and God said, and it was so, and God saw that it was good. Good. So let's turn to chapter 2, verse 1. I'm going to read this. It says, thus the heavens and the earth were what? Finished. And the host of them. Verse 2. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made. And he what? He rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. Verse 3, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, set it apart, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. So, you know, God had just finished creating the world and everything in it, right? All the plants, the water, the fish, the birds, the animals, and finally man. Every time he makes something, before he moves on to something else, God says something. He makes something and looks at it and says what? It is good. Okay? Everything he made was good. In fact, in verse 31, he says, he sees everything he has made and says it was what?
Very
good. Okay? So when you say something you have made is very good, you are what? You are satisfied with your work. You look at something you made, you say it's very good. Hey, I'm satisfied with that product. So in Genesis 2:2, on the seventh day, God rested from his work. Okay, was God tired?
No.
No. Can God get tired?
No.
No. Okay. So what does it mean that God rested on the seventh day? Okay, God ended his work which he made. His work of creation was what? Finished. He had completed the work he wanted to do. And he was utterly satisfied with that work. He had ceased from working. Okay? So it wasn't that God got tired. Okay? God was satisfied with what he created. The only time you finish from something you are doing, creating, or developing is if you are absolutely satisfied that is good. And now you can rest. Okay? So the definition of resting is to be not tired, but to be utterly satisfied with what was done. Then you can cease from working. You rest. Jack, I'll use you as an example. Okay? You are a painter or drawer. I don't know what do you call it. Do you call paint? You want to do is art. You're an artist. He's an artist. He creates drawings with pencil. Sometimes you paint, right, as well. Okay, I know you work a lot of, you know, sometimes we look at your work and say, well, how long did that take you, Jack? And sometimes you say, days, weeks.
Usually.
Yes. Okay, so when you're doing your work, okay, you don't finish your work, I know, until you are satisfied with your work, correct?
Right.
I mean, it may take you, oh, to me it looks done. You may say, I'm not satisfied. It's not done yet, right? Only when it is done do I get to see your work, okay? You present it to me sometimes. We have 3 or 4 or 5, 6, 7 paintings of yours, works of yours in our house, okay? You, at that point, have given it to us, so you are satisfied with your work when you give it to us. I know that, okay? You are done. You are completed. You are finished. You have rested from your work, right? Okay, thank you for using an example. Now let's turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Let's turn to the New Testament, the book of Hebrews, which also talks about rest. Hebrews chapter 4, great chapter in the Word of God. Hebrews 4. We'll start in verse 1. Hebrews 4, verse 1. It says, Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Now, what rest are we talking about here in verse 1? Well, verse 2 answers that question. Okay, let's read verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the words preached did not profit them, not being mixed with what? Faith or believing in them that heard it. So the rest that he's talking about in these first two verses is the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Entering into that rest, what Jesus Christ completed for each of us on the cross. Verse 3, for we which have believed, the stipulation is we have to believe, right? Do enter into rest. And he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundations of the world. How do we enter into that rest? By believing the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Bless you. Verse 4. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest on the seventh day from all his works. Let me read that verse 4 in the NIV. I think it's clear. For somewhere in the word, he has spoken about the seventh day in these words. On the seventh day, God rested from all his works. Where did we just read that? Genesis chapter 2, verse 2, right? On the seventh day, God rested. So let's now skip down to verse 9. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to who? The people of God. Is that rest to all people? No, it's to the people of God, those who are born again, to those who have what? Believed the gospel. Verse 10. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. You see where God rested from his works on the seventh day? He was satisfied with his works. So it says, this is a great analogy. For he, you and me, that have entered into the rest of the gospel, have ceased from what? Mm-hmm. Our own works, just as God did on the seventh day of creation. So no work of mine can ever get me good enough to enter the presence of God. It can it? But God's plan of salvation is for you is good. It is satisfying. It is what? Complete. It lacks nothing. It's God's plan. We can completely rest in it and cease from our own works to please God. So this rest is not because we are tired, but because we trust in the gospel. We are satisfied with God's plan of salvation for man. You know, just like his creation in Genesis chapter 1, God is satisfied with the work of Jesus Christ. It is finished. Your salvation is complete. Our part is what? To believe it. Okay, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2, verse 8. Isn't that a great analogy in Hebrews 4:10? A wonderful analogy. Our rest is being compared to how God rested after the seventh day of creation, on the seventh day of creation. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. And Jack, if you're there, could read verses 8 and 9.
For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
So that's pretty clear, right, these verses. It's by God's grace, not by our works. And yet how often do we continue to try, don't we? We continue to believe the devil's lies to try to work our way to our own salvation. You know, to define ourselves by what we do for God and others, right? Trying to show God, other people, and to yourself, I know I'm somebody important by the works I do. You know, religious people say, if I'm really good, and if I do many good works, God will accept me. Okay? And even secular people have a God void in their life, right? They operate on the very same basis. They don't believe God or believe the Bible, but they have set their standards and their entire self-image rest on meeting those standards. And living up to those goals, always having to prove yourself, always having to assure yourself that you're somebody important, right? But that work is never finished. It's never over, and it's never enough. You can never say, I am satisfied. I am good. It is finished, right? Only through Jesus Christ can you get this rest. Only through God's plan of salvation. You know, everybody's serving something. Everybody's trying to get an identity in something, right? It may be your favorite sports team. It may be your job. It may be your family. It may be your bank account. All of these will let you down at some point. You will be left unsatisfied and unsettled, okay? But only if you make him the meaning of your life will you get absolute rest through him. Only through him will you be able to look at yourself, look at his work, and look at everything and say, it is finished. Let's go to Hebrews, back to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. One of my favorite few verses of scripture in the Bible. Hebrews 10, we'll start in verse 12. And I'll read this. Hebrews 10, verse 12. But this man, who is that man, Jesus Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, how long? Forever.
Forever.
Sat down, what does sitting down mean, biblically?
Right.
Yes. Complete, thank you. Okay. Sat down on the right hand of God. 13, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Verse 14, for by how many offerings?
One
offering. Jesus Christ didn't go back to the cross over and over and over again for your sins, did he? By one offering, he hath what? Perfected or made complete forever them that are sanctified. And who are sanctified? Who are set apart? You and I who believe in the gospel and believe in Jesus Christ. It is so clear that Jesus Christ did what? One sacrifice, perfecting those who believe on him forever. A perfect sacrifice is one that what God is satisfied with, isn't he? The real question is, are you satisfied with Jesus Christ's sacrifice for your sins? God is. But are you satisfied? That's the real question. When we finally understand and believe the completeness of the work of what Jesus Christ has done for us, we enter into his rest. The struggle is over. The struggle we have to be accepted by God, the struggle we have to make our own works acceptable to God is over. We finally accept the completed work of Jesus Christ. And when you finally accept this completed work, there is what? There is rest. There is nothing else that needs to be done for my salvation. Jesus Christ completed the work for me. It is finished. And you can cease, just like God did on the seventh day, from your own works. Who was the book of Hebrews written to?
Hebrews.
Yes, Hebrews. Okay. And what were the Hebrews into?
The law.
Right, works, the law. Okay. The group of people who excelled at works or the law were what? The Pharisees, right? Okay. They were the religious leaders and prided themselves in works, how they tithed, how they kept the Sabbath day. Let's turn to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9.
I'm sorry, 1 or 9?
9. Romans 9. And we'll start in verse 30. And Joe, if you get there, can you read verses 30 through 33 of Romans 9?
Absolutely. Romans 9, verse 30.
Mm-hmm.
What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have obtained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith? But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed.
Great. Thank you, Joe. Whoever shall believe on him shall not be ashamed or disappointed. Let's look at verse 31 again. It says, but Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, the law, right, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Verse 32, wherefore, why? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. The works of the law could not save anyone. Then why do we think our works will save us now? The old net of nature, we want to boast in what we have done, to put trust in self, to do it my way. Don't stumble at that stumbling stone. God's way is the work is finished through my son, Jesus Christ. It was God's plan. God's way is Jesus Christ paid for all your sins. So believe it. Be satisfied with it. If you don't know what God has already blessed you with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus, then you will work and never rest. You will exhaust yourself trying to get what God has already given you. You will always wonder, have I done enough? You will not have rest. The issue is not what you do, but what you believe. Because what you do flows from what you believe. Let's turn back to Hebrews chapter 4. That great chapter in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4. And let's pick it up in verse, we left off verse 11. We left off in verse 10. Let's continue on in verse 11. Says, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. So labor here is not the typical word for labor or work. It's better translate diligence, to make effort, to be diligent, or to endeavor, to study. You don't work to earn the rest, but you work to enter into his rest, to build our believing. Verse 12, there's that great verse we know in Hebrews 4. For the word of God is what? Quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a what? Discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So do you know where our great diligence should be? We just read in verse 12. It's in the Word of God. You know, faith come by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. This diligence is not good works we are doing to be pleasing to God. It is knowing the Word of God and what? Believing it, applying it to our lives. Verse 12 says the Word of God is what? Living. It's alive. What God says has life. Therefore, it's never outdated. It's always relevant to life. Our real labor is whatever it takes to come to the point of believing this living Word of God. That is when we will experience the rest God has for us. That is God's will for your life. That is when we cease from our own works. Our work is to get to the point that we finally believe it and we quit the struggle. When the struggle to prove yourself before God is over, we have entered into his rest. Let's read verse 16 of Hebrews 4. Skip down from 12 to 16. It says, let us therefore come what? Boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. We don't come timidly to his throne, right? We don't come with a guilty conscience. How effective are we to God if we continue to condemn ourselves every day? We will be ineffective ministers. To share his word of deliverance, how effective will we be to share his word of deliverance if we wallow in self-condemnation? Better yet, we rest in Jesus Christ's completed work and realize what a blessing and joy it is to be a son and daughter of God. Then, only then, we get excited to share the good news. How effective we are to minister to people and share the good news to people if we just are in total self-condemnation every day. This may mean you have to disregard what the world taught you, that your parents taught you, what the culture taught you, what your professors taught you. What will keep you from the rest is the word of man. There are only two words in life, God's word and man's words. What God says versus what man says. What God says versus what people think. What God said versus what the news says. What God says, what's on the internet. If you don't stick to God's word, you don't get God's rest. Okay? Without God's peace and rest in your life, your mind will remain restless and unstable. The greatest possession we can seek in our lives is to get God's rest. We can lay down in peace instead of torn by inner struggles. Our minds can be restful and calm, not rattled by circumstances, not trying to complete a completed work, not trying to finish a finished work. One more section of scripture. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. And this is Jesus Christ talking. Matthew 11, and we'll start in verse 28. And who'd like to read verses 28 through 30 of Matthew 11? Okay.
Matthew 11, 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light.
Wonderful section of scripture, what Jesus Christ is saying here. The first in verse 28, he first says what? Come unto me, okay? This is an invitation, okay? And think about this invitation, okay? It's not Jesus Christ asking. He's asking people with problems, with issues, okay? Those with circumstances in their life to come to him. How often do we say that to people? We see people on the street, maybe homeless, maybe looking for money. Now, get away from me. I don't have to do with you, right? Jesus Christ is saying, come, if you have problems, come to me. That's not the ways of the world, is it? Ways of the world is to get away from me. I don't want your problems. You know, he's saying, come to me if you have problems, and I will give you. Well, that's first of all, it's an invitation. He says, I have the answer. And who is the answer? It's me, Jesus Christ. And this invitation is very personal. I am here for you. How can Jesus say this? Because John 14, 6, you know, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to me except, no one comes to the Father except through me. And because of 1 Peter 3:18, he's the Messiah that would bring us to God, right? The religions of the world say only the qualified can come. Only the good enough can come. Other religions of the world say that, right? Here God says, throw away those fig leaves and come unto me through the plan I devised on the cross of Jesus Christ by his perfect work for you, not by the labor of your hands. And next section is, come unto me, all ye that labor. Labor here is not what Doug talked about last week. Labor here is growing weary or toiling. The NIV and NASB versions translate this as weary. Come to me, all you who are weary, not labor, okay? And heavily burdened with condemnation, doubts, worthlessness, all those go away with accepting God's plan of salvation through Jesus Christ. And it says, I will give you rest. Here is where we find rest, in Jesus Christ. The one who enters God's rest trusts in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And yes, this is believing. Verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. What can we learn from Jesus Christ? Well, lots of things, right? But probably the biggest thing is his full trust in God, even to the point of death on the cross. He saw God's goodness for the joy that was set before him, and he trusted fully in God. He lived by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. For I am meek and lowly in heart. Jesus Christ was certainly the meekest man to walk on the earth, but who was he meek to? He wasn't meek to people. He was meek to his Father, because he always did his Father's will. And lowly in heart. Jesus Christ did not exalt himself. He exalted his Father. And as a result, God exalted him. I can of myself do nothing. Okay? And ye shall find rest unto your souls. And this is the promise. Okay? Quiet, calmness, tranquility, peacefulness, serenity, stability. The rest of knowing you are a son of God by what Jesus Christ accomplished for you. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What Jesus Christ is calling us to is different from the heavy religious burden, right? What we have with God through Jesus Christ, the righteousness, the justification, the sanctification, all spiritual blessings, eternal life, those are tremendous, okay? There are persecutions from the world when we have this kind of relationship with God. You are no longer in the devil's kingdom. Trials and afflictions, the Apostle Paul had some of these, right, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and Jesus Christ certainly had a share of trials and tribulations. But as Paul said, these are what? Light afflictions. They do not compare to the glory that we will experience when Jesus Christ returns. Maybe some people would call these that a burden, but some would call this a yoke, but it's definitely a temporary light burden, a light yoke caused by following Jesus Christ. So let's close in John chapter 6, the Gospel of John chapter 6. Isn't that great what Jesus Christ understood about himself and God's plan of salvation for us? John chapter 6, verse 27 says, labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall what? Give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Verse 28. Then say unto him, his disciples, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered in verse 29 and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. And whom has God sent? Jesus. His Son, Jesus Christ. Well, Father, we are so grateful that we can have rest. We can be assured of our salvation. We don't have to doubt. We don't have to wake up at night and say, are we saved? Are we your sons and daughters? Even when we have sinned and have fallen away from you for a period of time, we can still know that our salvation is complete because your Savior, Jesus Christ, is a complete Savior. Father, we can thank you that we can rest in the knowledge of that we can rest in your word, and that we can grow more and more every day in the confidence that we are your sons and daughters and have such a glorious future with you in heaven with eternal life. And may we continue to think on those things when circumstances don't maybe go our way in this world, that we can still trust in you and trust in your goodness and your ways, Father. Thank you for your salvation. Thank you for being your sons and daughters. And thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, have a wonderful week resting in God's goodness. God is the God of rest. We thank you. In the name of your Son, thank you all. Have a great time.